I want to read some words here. Let's see. Let me pull this up. Not my words, but someone important. I have never seen a better opportunity to get rid of Mitch McConnell. At Fire Mitch, that's the name of this organization, Save America, we have a plan to elect Amy McGrath and send Mitch packing. I wouldn't put my time or energy behind these folks if I didn't believe it could be done. James Carville, the strategist of the Clinton administration, Clinton campaign in 1992, and a well-known, verbose, provocative pundit out there. That's Mitch that's James Carville's words. So is he right? I think he is. I think it's time. I think that there is a good chance to beat Mitch McConnell this year. Dun, dun, dun. Let me bring in somebody who's a little skeptical. What's going on?
So you want to make this entire episode about taking down Mitch McConnell?
I don't know if I'd say hammering.
Okay, what would you say?
Defeating badly. Sending to oblivion.
Defeating. Okay. Okay. So I want to – this is really interesting because I want to know – one, I want to know if you've been drinking this morning. And the other thing I want to know is – so we have this – there's this website that I go to all the time. It's called cpnow.org.
Okay, I've heard of it.
And on this website, there's a professor that's done a lot of research on different states, and he's, you know, we send out they send out teams or whatever to these different states, and they have this map where it's color coded, like the darker states are the ones that have a lot more focus, and we've got a fighting chance. And then there's like one state that's this really, really light color. And it's Kentucky. So, what?
Okay.
I understand being pissed at Mitch. I get it. But tell me why you think we should focus on him for all three of the things today.
Okay, three things on why and how and why we must try and how we can ditch Mitch. So I'm a convert to this. Let's say that. Okay?
You are.
I'm a convert.
You are.
And I'm sure that you are not going to miss the opportunity to bring that up, so I'm preemptively bringing it up. Okay, so I'm
okay, good. That's really good. That's really good. And let's be clear about what the premise is. It should not be, why we should ditch him. I think that's clear.
Maybe okay, all
maybe
right.
Maybe it's why more people think that we should, or why more now, his state thinks that we should.
So I agree with you. This episode and our conversation in CP should not be about why we should. But I do think the conversation should be about, and I want in this podcast episode to be about two things: why we must try, and two, how we can. Okay. So
okay.
The should is understood, but why we must try,
yeah,
and how we can. So
okay.
Actually, I'm gonna acknowledge right off the bat that I'm a convert to this. Okay, and I'm going to take the how we can, but you,
okay,
not knowing this before you got on the call, are going to take the why we must try. Okay. So,
okay.
Okay. So you want to start? Or you want to go last?
How about I'll go throughout. I'm going to sprinkle some stuff in.
Okay.
So I'm going to start with this because I've been saying this.
Right.
I've been saying this, and I'm going to say this one more time, is that we have got to make them play defense. We've got to make them play defense. And I said this in a way that was aspirational. Remember, this is, I think I've been saying this for about a year now. But it was before I knew, or we knew about whether our impact was making its way to the states, to lawmakers. We understood that the volunteer groups appreciated us, and that some of the candidates are like, "We love you, you're great." But we didn't know if we were making an impact that they noticed, or that the folks in the middle or on the other side noticed. And we were catching wind now, particularly in states like Wisconsin, that these the powers that be are starting to realize who we are, that we're making an impact. Somebody came after us, actually, a lawyer came after us for some unfounded reason at the end of last year because of our success in Washington State. So the other side started to take notice. So us going to Kentucky, someone's going to notice that, and they're going to play some more defense, and it's going to scare them. And that's why we're going to Kentucky. That's part of why we're going to Kentucky, is because we need them to keep and divert some of their funds into states like Kentucky and keep it out of places like Wisconsin and Pennsylvania and Michigan.
Yep. Okay. All right. I'm going to offer – well, that's your tea kettle, man, right?
Yeah. That's cool. You can hear me. That's why I'm going to the tea kettle for today, because you got me all – I'm Mitch McConnell fired up. Okay, let's go. Let's do it.
Okay. I got three reasons for how we can do this, okay? So number one, and all of these are necessary conditions that make it a possibility. If none of them are determinative, but they're all essential to be in place. All right?
Okay.
So reason one is there has to be a candidate in the state who is able to raise the money that Mitch McConnell is able to raise. Okay. So, characteristic number one, almost always of people who take politics seriously and run in political circles, the first thing they want to know about a candidate is not is the person smart? Is the person charismatic?
Their politics, you know.
Right. None of that is the first thing. The first thing they want to know is can this person raise money, and are they willing to devote an enormous amount of time to it? Okay?
Mm-hmm.
You have to. So you could be a superstar. You could be incredible. But if you can't raise money, or if you're not willing to get in there and ask, do the ask, then how do you think you're going to persuade a million plus voters to vote for you in Kentucky? Okay.
Right.
So in first quarter of 2020, Mitch McConnell, all the FEC reports have come out recently for how much candidates have raised. See, September, she's with me, man.
That's my daughter. She's fired up about Mitch too.
Yeah. So in the first quarter of 2020, Mitch McConnell releases his numbers for how much he raised. And he comes out and they issue a press release at $7.4 million. Okay. It's the most money that he's ever raised in one quarter since going to Washington, D.C. in 1985. So it's his biggest fundraising quarter ever. They issue this press release. They tout this. They make the case that he is so well positioned for this campaign. He's got $25 million total on hand. A day later, Amy McGrath, who's the Democratic leading candidate in the state, issues her quarterly report, and it's $12.4 million. Okay?
Whoa.
All right?
That's huge. Fundraising totals are huge.
So she is – and then she says, here's my total. She's like, I've got almost exactly the same amount as Mitch on hand in overall. So, like, let's go. Let's go, Mitch. Right?
Wow. Okay.
So McGrath is not a perfect candidate. Let's just stipulate there are no perfect candidates out there, right?
Let's stipulate that there are no candidates that agree with they're all candidates on our side don't share our views. How about that?
Yeah, right, right. We're a coalition. We're never going to find someone who's going to agree with everything. I mean, this is one of the points that I want to talk about in a future episode. And we have to recognize that there's going to be some things that we agree on and some things we don't. So she's raised $12 million. A lot of that, of course, is from out of state because people want to beat Mitch McConnell. Necessary condition number one is that we have a candidate who can attract attention and raise money and will work her butt off to do it. And she has. So we have achieved it. This is step number one in how we can do this.
Yep. Well, and let's be honest about that outside dollars thing. I mean, I bet Mitch McConnell gets a ton of his money from outside. There's not a lot of money in Kentucky.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, that would be I didn't do any research on that, but it wouldn't be a hard thing to either read a news article that says this or you can read the FCC report yourself. All right?
There you go.
To answer that question. So McGrath is number one. Now, McGrath is not running unopposed in the Democratic primary. She's got at least one really good opponent, Charles Booker, in the state Senate who's running. But McGrath is the front runner, okay?
Right.
All right, condition two of how this can be done. Condition two, there has to be a national political environment that is negative for the Republicans. And Mitch McConnell has to be seen as at the center of that negativity. He doesn't have to be leading it, but he's got to be seen as central to it. Okay? So you can't come up with much more of a negative environment than a pandemic that is killing hundreds of thousands and almost certainly above 100,000 shortly here, and getting many, many more people very ill. And he's at the center of any congressional debates about money that has been passed or could be passed. He's blocking voter reforms. He's seen as giving money to the wealthy. So he's at the center of a national moment. Like a national pandemic is about short of a war, and this is a different kind of war, but short of a war, it's just about the biggest nationalized political environment you can have. So we have now achieved that, or not achieved isn't the right word, we've now encountered that in our society, and Mitch is at the center of it.
Well, so, he's at the center of it in some of the worst ways. He's like calling the Senate back, not to pass anything that has to do with quarantine or with coronavirus. He's calling them back to push through more judges. Oh, and by the way, he's under investigation for that, right?
Mitch?
Under investigation because they believe that they have proof maybe that he coerced a judge to retire early.
Uh-huh. Right.
And that's against the rules.
Yeah, and the next high-profile judge he's trying to appoint is a former intern of his, of McConnell's, okay? So he's trying to appoint a Kentucky-based judge who was a McConnell acolyte, and that's the next high-profile federal judge that they're trying to appoint. This is the reason they came back. So there was a couple great tweets today from Democrats of like, we're not coming back to approve your intern for a judge, all right?
That's good. It's true, though. That's interesting. And then, 13 senators didn't even come back, right?
Oh, really? I didn't see that.
Yeah. Yeah, a number of them didn't come back because they're just like, this is ridiculous.
Okay. Okay. So we've got a national
environment. Yeah, to your point about, to your point about that, he's not only is he seen as complicit in Trump's handling of what's going on, but he's also adding his own little flair to it that is outrageous.
Exactly.
Okay.
Number three. Those two things are absolutely necessary conditions, but they don't speak to me as reason to really start to think he could lose. They don't enough to me speak to. They like set the conditions for it. But there's a third attribute, and it's one that as like over the years that I've come to learn is really like a tell. It's an indicator. It's one of these moments where you're like, okay, this just entered a new stratosphere of needing to pay attention to this. And it's what we would call unforced errors, okay? Mm. Unforced errors, where a candidate does something that they do not need to do, and it becomes a symbol of their depravity or incompetence or a complicity as part of a system. And he, you know, has passed these stimulus bills, and a week and a half ago he said, let's let the state and the local government go broke, all right? Let's just let them file for bankruptcy. His doing this is intended as a signal to conservatives that, you know, we're going to let the big metropolitan urban democratic strongholds go bankrupt. But in reality, those local entities are present everywhere in America, and they're all over these small places, not big urban places, but small county level, town level, city level, is all over Kentucky. They're all over. And they are firefighters. They are police officers. They are librarians. They are city officials. And so he has been getting hammered for that in the state by other leaders in the state who are like, this is outrageous that he would just say this while he's giving tax breaks to the wealthy. So he didn't need to say this. There was no reason he had to say that. All right. And he's really smart. So he probably had a logic for doing it. But it's one of those moments that begin to become symbolic of a broader candidate. And they get draped on them as part of an advertising campaign. And you end up having to defend it all the time. And you don't see McConnell do this very often. And so I feel like he's pressured. He's recognizing the challenges of the moment. I assume that he still has a lead in Kentucky, but that it's way closer than they would like it to be.
Okay, so I'm gonna jump in with two more reasons why we must. That's right. I corrected you, Jeff. So why we must go. One of them is our community is really fired up. And I think that I've been having this conversation with people often about us setting out plans and designs for things, and then us letting the people who belong to our community influence us a little bit and not just remain and unchanged, and adapting not only to the external environment, but adapting to the internal one too, and growing and evolving with the people that are a part of our organization. And this is that, you know, Kentucky doesn't make a ton of sense when you look at the numbers in terms of, well, up until this point, you know, the polling data is probably going to come out soon. That's going to reflect what you're saying. But you know, when we were planning going to the 20 states earlier this year, Kentucky was super low on the list, and it made the list even because of how fired up our community is. We care about what our people think. And if folks are willing to hop on a plane and knock on doors or work remotely for Kentucky, then so are we. And so that's a good enough reason to add it to the list. The third reason is, or the second of these two, is that when you look at the dynamics in the state and you put together the facts that are the last polling numbers we had on him were that generally people don't like him in the state. And then you've said in your lectures that he's the most disliked senator in the state. in his own state.
Yeah, in the country.
By people in his state, right?
Yep.
Look at the, so if you connect that to fundraising, the fundraising numbers for his opponents, Amy McGrath, Charles Booker didn't release any fundraising numbers, or I don't know about his fundraising numbers, but I'm assuming that people did donate to him because he's the further left, more progressive candidate.
Sure.
And then you look at generally the polling numbers around Amy McGrath and kind of that closing gap versus Mitch McConnell, and there is a momentum shift to the left away from Mitch McConnell for sure, but a little bit more to the left, maybe towards the middle in Kentucky, that is worth supporting. So the people of Kentucky and their move towards us, and the communities and the organizations that are fighting hard and working hard on the ground, all of that is worth supporting for the future.
Yeah.
It may not get any wins today. It might not get any today.
Right.
But it'll get it in the next couple major cycles, presidential for sure at some point.
Yeah, that's good. Right. We've only been around for a couple of years, but already we have seen in our work the importance of investing in time one with the potential of its impact in time two years down the road. All right. Mm-hmm. 4 years down the road. And that's part of what I'm really digging about us now. We've been around long enough to see the way in which the election of a governor or a secretary of state or a legislature at time one can matter for decisions that are made a year later, 3 years later, mm-hmm. And why it's so essential to compete always in these elections. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah,
I totally agree with you.
Compete alongside these partner organizations as they kind of grow and trust us more and that now integrate us into some of their plans, which is a really cool thing to have happen.
Yeah. So there's two things I want to say on that, on what you just said. Well, there's two things, and then I got one more reason that I just remembered for how we can do this. So you said
this is a three things plus one bonus thing.
Yeah, totally. I do want to call out and thank our community for always shaping our strategic choices. We certainly feel the responsibility and the desire to drive a bus, to drive where we're going, but always paying attention to our volunteers. And the response always, you and I have seen it, to the idea of competing against Mitch McConnell is always the biggest one out there, right?
Yeah.
And so that's something I started paying attention to and then drove me to like think deeper about Kentucky way back in 2019. Mm. And so shout out to our community for exhibiting that and driving that. Now we won't allow that reaction to be determinative because that's not good strategic leadership, but we will absolutely use it as a data point, and it has been.
Yeah.
So totally agree with you on that. And then second, on the partners in the state, so our partner in that state in 2019 were the Kentucky Democrats. Right now, we're in motion to rebuild, to renew that engagement for 2020. But we're also working with another organization in the state by the name of Kentuckians for the Commonwealth. State of Kentucky is one of the commonwealths in this country, along with Virginia, and maybe there's one more. And Kentuckians for the Commonwealth, or as they're known locally, KFTC, has reached out to us and asked us for some engagement with them right now. And so you'll be seeing either in this Friday's weekly email or the following Friday a request for our volunteers to support them. And I don't actually know what that request is because it just came in last night and is being handled by our Kentucky team lead, Emily Carmichael, and our remote fieldwork person, Daniel Caseford. So I don't know exactly what it is, but I know it's here. Okay.
That's awesome.
And how did we get that contact? We got it through Adrian Shropshire from Black Pack. All right. And so this is what an organization like us is able to do 2 years in, as opposed to a month and a half in, right? It's really cool. Okay. So here's one more reason. Okay, here's one more reason.
Yeah, what's your bonus?
So there has to be a voting environment. There has to be a voting environment that gives us a chance. Okay. And what we have seen in the state is that there's a primary upcoming, and the Republican Secretary of State and the Democratic Governor, Andy Beshear, who we helped to elect, have reached an agreement to provide COVID-19 as a legitimate reason for procuring an absentee ballot. And for the first time in Kentucky electoral history, they're going to make early voting available at various locations around the state. Okay?
That's huge.
They're going to do that. Yeah, they're going to do that for the primary. The primary is, I think, in June. They're going to do that for the primary. And then that becomes a stepping stone to the potential of those dynamics in play for the November election. We can't expect those to be in play in November if we can't get them in play now at the height of all of this, or at least what we see as one height of all of this. So the environment of a Secretary of State who's a Republican, who I've been reading a fair amount about this guy, I think his name is Charles Adams, seems like a fairly reasonable human being, working with Beshear, the governor, to kind of decide upon election environments.
The fifth reason why we should go there is because of all the cool people named Charles, Charles Adams, Charles Booker. Why not just have me go there? We can all take a picture together, get to know each other. Anyway, so go ahead.
Well, so the environment there electorally, voting wise, is favoring a just and inclusive democracy. And that helps us have a chance to win, but it also is an environment where we're like, we're fighting for that. We need to show up when it shows up. All right.
That's right.
Okay. So I think we got a shot. And so I'm definitely encouraged and fired up about this and just ready. I can't wait till we travel.
I think we need to, you and I need to get to work on that. We got to settle on some dates, man. We've got to settle on some dates for people. I know they're chomping at the bit to get out there and touch the ground in some of these states. I think we're thinking the way we're talking, we should probably put opportunities out there for multiple tries to travel.
So yeah.
Really small, and we should probably jump through it as soon as we see it, and then jump through it again if the window extends into the fall.
Yeah.
I had Amazon send me a map.
Yes. Yeah, totally. You're right. This needs to be like the next 10 days of focus for us of getting dates on our calendar. They're slowly coming in because our state leads are working with our partner orgs, but making a concerted push to get plans on the calendar for between July 4th and Election Day. All right. So that's why Kentucky is not only in play, I think it's a legitimate pickup opportunity. We're going to do some more three things focused on states in coming days. I know I want to talk about Montana for sure. I want to talk about Alaska. I want to talk about Kansas. Okay. Mm-hmm. So we'll do, I kind of will prep a little bit for each of them so that I can, in all of these, bring the arguments for why we got a shot.
Good. And I'm always going to hold your feet to the fire and make you actually have a strong argument.
Okay. All right. All right.
We can't just waltz into these states being all super excited for no reason. It's got to be legitimate. Good job today. I agree.
All right.
Kentucky's a state to be excited about. Go.
All right, everybody, check out the lectures I got coming up, and check out the regular updates on our national field work and our advocacy page. Let's get back to work. You ready? Charles from Seattle.
Let's do it, David from UW area.
All right, man. Talk to you later.
Let's get back to work.
Let's get back to work. Let's do it.